Well, Chag Sameach, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web, WHKWRadio.com. This is John Bartlett, your co-host, along with our teacher of God's Word, Sheila Crawford. And we're very glad you decided to join us tonight. We're glad that you, Mike, Christy, Matt, Joe, Nikki, Brad, and Esther, you're all listening tonight, I hope. I hope you are. And as we're continuing in the book of Jude, and you're really going to enjoy this. It's only one chapter, but, man, is there a lot of meat to chew on here. So be sure your Bible is out and be ready to take some notes, because you just might want to share these truths with a friend. But first, as always, we want to ask God to be with us tonight, bestow his timely wisdom on his servants, especially for this next coming hour here. And Abba, we thank you again for the privilege of ministering to your people over the air. We pray that all those listening will be blessed, and that your Holy Spirit will enlighten what they hear and bring it to life for them, and that their family members that aren't saved, you will convict with your Holy Spirit. Just by the actions of us, Lord, sometimes we know that you give us the grace to live godly lives in an ungodly family, and we just ask that we're able to do that so that our families will see us and know there's something real and that they need to be saved and repent, especially before you come. And your coming is very soon right now. We want to lift up all the prayer requests we had this week in the form of emails and phone calls. And, Lord, we just ask you just for your people just to honor their requests and give them what they need, whether it be just a hug from you, financial help, healing, Lord, all these things. We're living in tough times, Lord. Also, we just ask that you grant us wisdom in these last days, to know the truth and be able to discern what's true and what's not. And we know that that comes from study of your word and the enlightening work of the Holy Spirit. So we thank you, and we praise you in the name of Yeshua, our Savior and Messiah. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And you are so right. We do need discernment more than ever. Whew. But shalom to you and to all our listeners tonight. May God's grace and peace abound in your life. And may this broadcast tonight increase your desire to get even closer with your Savior. I mean, that's what it's all about. And I really enjoy teaching verse by verse. So I do believe it is the best way to grow in Him. It's only 26 verses, like John said. And we only have gotten, I think, through three of them last week.
All three.
Yes. But as we said, lots of meat for everyone to chew on.
Yeah, and all righty then, too. I want to remind you the phone lines are open, so don't be shy. Call us. If you have a question, that number is 888-677-WORD. And reminder, all missed programs are right there on shofarministries.net. They're archived. And if you have a question, but you just don't want to be on the air with it, all you have to do is tell our producer, Derek, and he'll pass it along to us, and we'll answer it right over the air. And I do want to mention, too, that this Thursday, 7 p.m., up at Lakeshore Assembly of God, Sheila will be teaching on this very same topic, right?
What same topic?
On the topic we're talking about tonight.
Nope. No, I'm going to be teaching on Pentecost.
On Pentecost.
Because Pentecost is Sunday.
That's right.
That's right. But in case you need that address, it's 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard in Mentor, Ohio.
That's right.
So come on out.
Pentecost Sunday.
That's this Sunday.
How many churches out there have something to do on Pentecost Sunday? Did they go, this is Pentecost Sunday?
Well, I think they might because of Acts chapter 2. I mean, especially the Pentecostal churches.
Oh,
I think they definitely do recognize it.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is. But it's actually a celebration of two very important days of memorial, if that's what you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first one was the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. And that was 50 days after the Israelites escaped through the Red Sea.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, he sent the Holy Spirit. And, of course, you all know that in Acts chapter 2. And, of course, this gave all true believers that extra power that no one's ever had. And we are so blessed to have it,
yes.
Especially in these days.
Right. It's a great gift.
Oh, truly it is.
I mean, I'll tell you what, it's the icing on the cake, and it's what you need to. It's a very big help for a living in these days.
That's right. And you know what I think, although this isn't the subject for tonight, because we've taught on this extensively last year, do you happen to know the dates? Maybe they want to go in and, May 15th and May 22nd it was.
Oh.
So.
Good for you.
But anyway, why don't you just read Leviticus 23, verse, I think it's 15.
Okay, let's talk about this holiday. And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf. Well, I heard the shofar there.
Yeah.
So let me start again. And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed.
Now, the wave offering, of course, was the time at Passover.
Passover. Okay. All right. Good. Glad you brought that up. Count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath.
Which would always be a Sunday.
Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwellings 2 wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah.
That's just a measure.
They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. And that should be a big exclamation point there, because no offerings are baked with leaven.
That's right.
And
this is an unusual
This
one.
Is very unusual. And we'll finish it off. They are the first fruits to the Lord.
And this, of course, is of?
The fruit of the wheat harvest.
The wheat harvest. That's
and
right.
Passover was the fruits of the barley.
That's right.
And this is the wheat. Okay.
That's right. So at Passover, of course, you don't eat leavened bread, but Pentecost, you not only eat leavened bread, but you wave 2 loaves of it to the Lord. And let me just explain. Leaven is a picture of sin. And since Jesus was sinless, and he's the bread from heaven, it is a picture of Christ at Passover, because he, of course, took our sins to the cross. And so he was a sinless picture as well. So the bread couldn't be with leaven.
That's right. That's okay. Why it's the matzah.
But at Pentecost now, Jesus has already paid the price for our sins, so leavened bread is okay. And the 2 loaves represent that he paid the price for both Jews and Gentiles.
All right. And we're not saying that sin is okay. We're just saying that, hey, sinners can be made an offering and made holy because of Jesus' work, didn't have any sin. We highly recommend you, listeners, just visit our radio archives, because we actually did this. It was a 2-part series.
Oh, there's a date.
Yeah, that you mentioned. It was on May 15th and May 22nd. And that was, I don't know what year that was. It was last year. 2012. And that's just go to shofarministries.net. Very easy. On our webpage.
That's right.
And go before Sunday so you can share the meaning of this very special Sunday coming up with your family and your friends.
Yeah, and I really think as Christians we should be doing that. And I think some knowledge of the feast really does help our credibility when it comes to other areas of the Bible, like anti prophecy.
That's right. And Sheila, how about some, have any news to catch up with tonight?
Well, real quickly, because I don't want to take a lot of time tonight, but still no retaliation from Syria over Israel taking out those missiles over a week ago. And remember, they were being transported to Hezbollah, and they also took care of a chemical plant. But unfortunately, Russia is moving in more warships into the Mediterranean, and I don't know, maybe it's just to scare Israel, I suppose, because Putin did meet with Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel, actually today, I believe, this morning. But once again, with a warning to him, do you better lay low? Okay. So Netanyahu had gone there actually to plead with Putin not to finish that deal that he made with Syria. I guess they made some deal quite some time ago and sold Syria 6 S-300s, which carry about 144 missiles. And Putin said, sorry, lad. Too late, already delivered.
What kind of missiles?
The kind that actually, the ones capable of shooting down Israeli airplanes, pretty big. And they are manned, actually, by Russian soldiers. So Russia's helping them even to man them.
So if they take out these Because they take out these missile launchers or whatever. They also take out the Russians.
Well,
that
they could take a
Russian
chance
army
of hitting Russian, and that's not what they want to do. It's sort of like double indemnity there.
Yeah, it is. Or checkmate, or however you want to call it.
Yeah, whatever the proper word is. But this sort of ties Israel's hand, so I believe that they probably will lay low for a while. But either way, it's pretty volatile over there, and Russia is pretty focused on protecting its interests in the Mediterranean.
Wow.
Okay. But meanwhile, it's wild what's happening over here. I'm not going to say a lot about it because all I have to do is turn on any news show anymore. Even the liberal left are talking about Obama now, which is a good sign. I mean, it's hopeful. But the liberal press, like I say, is acting pretty stunned with Washington. But to sum it up, basically, it's corruption at its finest. And I think the Obama administration is really showing its true colors more than ever. And, of course, we've had the Benghazi fiasco last week where three whistleblowers exposed the cover-up. So it'll be interesting to see now what happens. I'm hoping it continues on. And
a little more serious than Watergate, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
A little more serious. People died here.
Yeah, and Hillary Clinton needs to come back and talk about it. But then you add to that that the IRS has admitted to harassing conservative organizations. Really? Like if you have, you know, if you're associated with any group like Tea Party or anything like that, you could get audited. And a lot of them aren't getting their 501c3s either.
And more than once audited, I've heard.
And then this morning it came out that the Associated Press reporters, their personal cell phones have been tapped. So Washington can get, like, inside information on who might be spilling the beans to the reporters. And, of course, when they find out somebody's name, they actually go to them. And I'm understanding they actually threaten them. And if they can't get to them, they'll go to their families. I mean, this is serious, serious stuff here.
It is. But you know what? The Bible talks about this. Isaiah,
I know.
Isaiah 5, verse 23, talking about those who acquit the guilty for a bribe.
Yes.
But deny justice to the innocent.
That's right.
I'm sure you're seeing that.
Oh, we sure are. Oh, my goodness. And lastly, since we will be talking about the wicked tonight, which I think we're going to see as kind of a different group of people than just us average Joes.
Yeah.
But Dr. Gosnell, who's that demonic abortionist, he's high on that wicked list, by the way, in my opinion. If you listen to the things that he does and did. It's just so, so demonic.
Yeah.
But it ended up he got life instead of the death penalty. So now we can continue to pay for him to live.
Well, he's 72 years old, so it won't. Maybe it won't be that long.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well.
Another Mengele.
I hope
this guy is.
I hope he repents because he ain't going to like where he's going.
I know it. Well, how about let's delve into the book of Jude?
Yes.
Shall we do it?
Yes.
Okay, we'll start with, how about an overview?
Oh, yes, of course.
Last week, what we did last week.
Well, we talked about Jude being the half-brother of Jesus. He's also the brother of James, who also wrote a New Testament letter, as I'm sure you are all familiar with. But Jude begins by addressing three types of Christians. The called, the set-apart ones, or the sanctified ones, and then the preserved or kept ones. And we detailed the difference last week.
Yeah, and you can check that out on the archives there at shofarministries.net.
But the conclusion was, once sanctified, always sanctified.
Ah, I see.
Uh-huh. And again, we talked about that too, so.
Oh, also the sanctification thing, you can check that out at the website. January 22nd and 29th of 2012, we covered that.
Yes, we did.
Sanctification.
And it is a process.
It is.
But then in verse 2 of Jude, that was the formal greeting, blessing them with mercy, because they were going to need it after they were done with reading his letter. But in verse 3, Jude calls himself the bond slave unto Christ. And we explained that. And he tells the beloved.
And this is not unbelievers.
Right. That he was about to write about salvation, but was compelled to change it, and actually, instead, to plead with them, saying they must contend, or which really means to struggle, for the faith. And, of course, this has always been true, but since this letter, I believe, is the vestibule for the book of Revelation, judgment coming, I believe it's really meant for the last generation, just prior to the final judgment. And then we also explained the difference between an apostate and a false teacher.
Yes, we did.
You want to expand on that a little?
A little bit, yeah. A false teacher teaches error.
Easy.
Like, example would be there's no rapture.
Yes.
Or the gifts of the Holy Spirit aren't for today.
Yes.
Or, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yes.
But they don't deny that Jesus is God or was born of a virgin or the Trinity, which are, you know, pretty much the fundamentals of our faith.
That's right.
Right.
So, a lot of them are still saved or, you know, are saved.
And that's a false teacher. But an apostate.
Well, okay, I'll explain apostate. They'll say, well, there's other ways to heaven, too. And that is horrible because there is no other way to heaven. So that's denying who Jesus is.
That's right.
And it's especially apostasy if you once knew the truth. That's an apostate.
Hmm.
So you know the truth and then you change your mind. And you know what? I just heard that again today. My daughter was telling me about somebody that said to her, well, I once believed in him, but I don't anymore. I don't think he's really who he says he was.
Wow.
So, you know, it's happening.
It is.
Okay. And there's been many other good preachers, I understand, that are now compromising the gospel.
Absolutely.
And they'll also use the claim often of receiving additional revelation outside the Bible, like I had a dream or, you know, things like that.
Or
so, therefore.
Or God told me to tell you, things like that.
Yeah. And it's not always, you know, true.
And we see this apostasy today at a high level.
It really is, you know. And 2 Peter addresses this topic also. In fact, Peter and Jude kind of almost say the same thing. And it's kind of amazing because it's two different writers, and yet we've got the Holy Spirit orchestrating it, you know, saying the truth. But Peter actually anticipates and warns of the false teachers. However, Jude does deal with their arrival.
And it's serious stuff, and it's hard to understand this because when you think of evil or wickedness or something, you think of murder and war and all this, but here's just some bad teaching.
That shows you the importance of how important it is to speak the truth of the Scripture, probably more important than if you killed somebody.
It almost seems that way, doesn't it? So this is heavy stuff.
It is heavy. You know what? I would like you, if you don't mind, John, there's a couple verses in 2 Peter 2 that I think would fit into this. Try 20 and 21.
Okay. 20, 21. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ,
talking about an apostate,
they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them.
Okay. So an apostate is someone that knew the truth and then turned away, and it would have been better if they wouldn't have ever even known the truth to begin with. Wow.
And like the proverb says, the dog returns to its vomit. And
that's right.
My goodness.
Yeah.
And
so,
this happens a lot.
You know, you can't deny the fact that there's people that lose their salvation.
Well, I don't know if they lose their salvation, but they sure get deceived out of it, it seems like to me. They hear these false teachers, and oh, my gosh.
Yeah, well, I think they probably do lose their salvation, but that's a whole other thing.
Oh, that's a whole.
However, they probably never got sanctified, see? That's the difference.
No?
But anyway, let's go on. We'll begin tonight in verse 4, which is a continuation, actually, from verse 3, and we didn't really get to verse 4. So, John, I think it'd be good if you just read verses 3 through 6 tonight. I don't know if we'll ever even get that far, but we've still got a couple weeks left.
Okay.
But if you could read it out of the original Greek, but, of course, in English.
Okay. Well, I was going to read it in Greek, but but here we go. This is very small lettering. I'll have to use the microscope for this one. Starting in verse 3. Having made all diligence to write to you about the common salvation, beloved, I had need to write to you to exhort you to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints. For certain men crept in secretly, those having been of old marked out to this condemnation, ungodly ones, perverting the grace of God for unbridled lust and denying the only Master, God, even our Lord Jesus Christ. But I intend to remind you, you, once knowing these things, that the Lord, having saved a people out of the land of Egypt, in the second place destroyed the ones not believing. And those angels, not having kept their first place, but having deserted their dwelling place, he has kept in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of a great day.
Wow.
So
that's pretty heavy, huh?
That is heavy stuff.
Yeah. Okay, well, let me ask you this, John. Let's go back to what the main theme now of the book is.
The main theme?
Yeah, what is it?
I believe it is false teaching.
It's contending for the faith.
It's contending for the faith. That's what I meant.
That's what you meant. Okay. And the reason I'm saying that is because he brings up these examples, and he's only given us like a verse on some pretty heavy things,
mm-hmm.
because he's expecting us to already know these things, and he's just more or less giving you examples of why you need to contend for the faith, because there's so much evil out there.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
But it also kind of tells you that, again, you might have to strain a little.
Really?
You know? In other words, stop ignoring when you hear error and just go, oh, well, that's his thoughts and blah, blah, blah. Instead.
Well, that's his opinion. We're all going the same direction. Aren't
we? Yeah, right. Instead, though, if you know it's wrong, speak the truth in love. And there's always a nice way of doing it. You know, let that person know you really care and that you really love them and say, let's talk about this. Here's what I see in this scripture.
Yeah, you were really specific about that last week. Mm-hmm. That's something we need. It's more important than we have thought. So okay.
So anyway, this verse 4 now
mm-hmm.
shows the reason why we must strongly contend for the truth of our faith.
Yeah, and especially it's like when you hear someone say, "Oh, God understands. You know, we're living in a 21st century, or we know you lose this. If you get married, you're going to lose your benefits or this
and
that."
Yeah, right.
And don't worry, everyone's doing it.
In the 21st century.
Yeah, come on. You know, you're a pilgrim or something.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You know what? God doesn't change his laws like that. But I think the biggest one is, of course, is the sex outside of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is so blatant.
It is.
And people just still, even though I tell them it's wrong, they just don't. Believe me, I guess.
It's not so much that you're getting away with anything by doing that, but you're missing this great opportunity to show other people and if you have children, to show your little children what marriage actually is, a picture of the love that God has for us, the love
that's
of the
right.
Father and the love for the Son.
Good point.
So leaving that's sort of like what you are sidestepping or leaving out of the equation, and that will affect your children if you have children.
Well,
it will affect
right.
your friends if you have friends.
And he even says that it'll affect your children. Mm-hmm. It'll be passed down.
It'll be passed down. First Corinthians 5 really addresses that issue. If you want to go there, probably don't have time, but First Corinthians 5.
Not right now.
Okay.
But I do want to read verse 4. It says, for certain men have crept in unnoticed.
I read that.
They like slither in like a snake.
Like a sneaky snake.
Yeah. Who long ago were marked out. Now, that word marked out is prographo,
mm-hmm.
4270, and it means set forth beforehand. So they were marked out for this judgment or condemnation from long ago. Ungodly men who pervert the grace of our God into lewdness. Unbridled lust is another word.
Mm-hmm.
And deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what I want to kind of like have people think about. And I'm not saying that I'm sure on this or anything like that, but I think it's interesting that he says certain men have since long ago been marked out for this. And again, God is all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows who's going to serve him and those that are not.
But this has some interesting implications.
Yes, it does.
Almost that God has set it up this way so that it has actually maybe put these people in this position.
Well, that's what some people might say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's the truth, though. I think he just, because he's all-knowing
mm-hmm.
and he knows the wicked ones.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's marked out. That word is definitely interesting.
Yeah.
Would you say it was programmable?
And then, of course, we're going to get into some pretty heavy stuff, and maybe he's talking about the ones that are actually demonic, that have been, you know, passed down from the Nephilim, and we're going to cover some of that.
Okay.
But it also, this verse defines apostasy again, where they deny Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
and that's the thing. But it says certain men, and I wanted to cover that a little bit, because that word certain is number 5100.
Yeah, it does say certain men.
And the word is T-I-S.
Mm-hmm.
Tis, I guess. And I looked in the lexicon for this, but it's this word certain is used of persons or things concerning which the writer either cannot or will not speak more particularly.
Hmm.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty amazing, too. Wow.
Hmm.
In other words, men who have, like, crept in, like the tares infiltrated the wheat in the parable of the sower, Matthew 13.
Yeah, we talked about those parables last month.
Yes, we did. Could Jude maybe be describing a wicked seed, perhaps? Like
mm-hmm.
as in the days of Noah, and also after that, you know, Genesis 6:4 says, and also after that.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we know that the Israelites saw the giants in the land of Canaan.
Right.
And the only way you can get giants is from the fallen angels that cohabitated with women.
With human women.
Right, because right. two humans don't create giants.
And that would be wicked seed.
That would be a wicked seed, yes.
And that's what the flood destroyed. Noah's seed,
right.
Noah was perfect in his generations. There were no compromised seed, I guess. What you
correct.
Call it. Probably DNA would be a better way to describe it. His DNA hadn't been altered by cohabitation from fallen angels or defiled by,
yes.
by that. So
well,
very
and,
interesting.
And it's, I don't know if was it here or maybe I was speaking at a church that I talked about this, but the flood, of course, killed all the Nephilim. But what happened to their spirits? And that's what I understand roamed the earth. And they're called disembodied spirits, and they look for bodies to enter.
That's...
Okay?
Okay.
I know that's heavy, but, you know, that's really what it says. And you do not have to believe this. I'm not telling you to. I'm just trying to stir you up to maybe do your own homework and...
Yeah, we
do. Thoughts,
we
and
do.
Maybe you don't want to think about it at all.
Well, this is what we wrestle with. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, right?
That's exactly right. And that's why I think it's important for us in this last generation to mm-hmm. be aware of what's going on around us.
Yeah.
You know.
That's right.
But for Genesis 6:4, and we'll read this again in a few minutes, but,
okay.
you know, for it to say it also after that, which would actually make me think that maybe there was more fallen angels afterwards decided to leave as well or Satan went up and talked him into it. I don't know the details.
Well, what about this idea of these people that were marked out to be wicked?
Mm-hmm.
Can we expand on that
a little
bit? It was just
set forth beforehand
mm-hmm.
that God was aware of it.
Psalm 58, that verse in 58:3, do you think that sort of...
Oh, yeah, why don't you read that?
This is really interesting to me. It says, the wicked are estranged from the womb.
Mm-hmm.
They go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies.
Mm-hmm.
And,
wow.
and, of course, the psalm goes on to talk about the Rasha'im
mm-hmm.
and the serpent and things like that. So,
well, in fact, that word wicked is Rasha'im, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And that is a descendant from the giants.
Yeah.
That's where, and Anak, and there's a couple other ones.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all have this wicked seed.
That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So this has all been set up. These people sound like they've been foreordained. And they may or may not be human, or they may be half human.
Well, partly.
Is it okay to say that?
Yes, I guess so.
I mean,
it's certainly bad seed and you know, whatever. I don't mean to laugh about it. I mean, it's just serious stuff.
It
but
is serious
we
stuff.
Don't have all the answers to everything.
That's true. But we did have a show, and I remember we discussed a little bit about fallen angels and about
mm-hmm.
UFOs and things like that,
mm-hmm.
and aliens being actually demons.
Right, absolutely they are.
And
they're being really seen a lot lately.
Hmm. And it ties in.
Well, and it's interesting that I once read in the Jewish Book of Y when I was studying a lot of the Hebraic roots.
Yeah, I remember that.
And he said, Alfred Kolach, he says that in the oral tradition it teaches that there are actually three kinds of people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The righteous, the wicked, And those in between, or what they call average, that haven't fully decided yet.
Those would be the undecided, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But at the rapture, we're going to be gone, and those people are going to be left, the wicked and the average. Now, hopefully, the average people will make their decision quickly when they see that we're gone.
Yeah, because they'll be thinking, these people are really wicked.
The other ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other ones. And they'll be going, gee, I thought I was bad, but these people, mm-hmm. I mean, this is, they went to school, they've got a PhD in wicked.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it's going to look like.
But, you know, it just brings it right back.
I'm glad we're leaving.
Oh, me too. But this just brings us right back to what I usually say almost every week mm-hmm. on this broadcast. If you aren't heavily in the Word, do you think you can be deceived?
I think so.
Right.
I really do. I really do. It's so easy. It is so easy. In fact, the Word says, I remember where it is, I don't remember, but it does say that even the elect can be deceived if it were possible. Oh, I know, Matthew 24 says that.
If it were possible.
If it were possible
and
that the elect, that would be us, the beloved, the church, whatever you want to call us, could be deceived.
That's right. And that brings up a good point. Why won't it be possible? You know this.
Probably because of the rapture. We won't be here.
We won't be here. That's why it won't be possible.
And I think you're right that we've never brought this out before. I've never thought about this before until tonight. But Yeshua was referring to the time. Tribulation in Matthew 24.
That's right.
And if we did stay here, hey, we might be.
Strong it's going to be. That's what he's trying to say.
Yeah. Very, I've never thought about that verse like that until tonight. That's really cool. Whoa, well, we've done a lot in
the first
half.
We're going to have to take our quick break.
Yeah, before we take that break, do you want to say what we're going to do during the break? Because I don't know. Are we going to have a song?
Yes, we are going to have a song. And actually, it's a song by Kris Kristofferson, and it is called Why Me, Lord?
Why Me, Lord?
That's it.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's one of my favorite songs, and we'll go over how we're going to finish when we come back.
Okay, well, don't go away. You listen to Shofar Ministries Hour. We're going to hear a song from Kris Kristofferson, and we'll be right back.
God bless you. This is for the special for the Vietnam vet. Why me, Lord? Have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you? Oh, the kindness you've shown. Try to repay all I've taken from you. Maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to you.
Now that I know that I need it.
My soul's in your hands.
Well, hello. Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That was Chris Christofferson singing
Why Me, Lord?
Why Me, Lord?
And you know, what a beautiful song, because look at the blessings that we get all the time.
That's true. And what do we do to deserve them?
Nothing.
Nothing. As a matter of fact, I can speak very truthful about this. I deserve none of it.
No, neither do I.
As a matter of fact, I deserve punishment.
Sure.
And
especially you. Sorry.
You're so right. It's bad, but I have to agree with you. But you know what? That's grace, and I trust in Jesus. I know you don't. But I trust in Jesus, and I know that I know that I know that his blood covers my sin,
yes.
And that when I die or I'm raptured, I will be with him. And he knows I'm not. He knows I'm imperfect.
Well,
as a matter of fact, sometimes I think he chooses people that really are kind of rotten.
Sure.
Because we're sort of like trophies of his grace.
Well, that's very true. And, yeah. And I am a trophy.
And I believe I am, too, because I have really, if it weren't for him, I would really have no reason.
Yeah.
And no inclination to do anything good. Isn't that sorry to say? I'm sorry to say that, but that's just how I was born, how I was raised.
I think everyone can relate.
And there's people that are good out there. You've come from good families. Maybe your father's a pastor and your parents are in the ministry or something like that. Like Katy Perry, but does that mean that you're automatically saved because your parents are? No, it doesn't. So you had to bring her up, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I think it's a sad thing. That's why I feel sorry for her parents.
Well, we're going to get back to the book of Jude really quick. But first, I want to tell you, check out our webpage. That's shofarministries.net. All our newsletters and previous radio shows are archived there, and you can order DVDs as well. The phone lines are open. The number is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. And I want to remind you, your tax donations are still deductible and very vital to this Hebraic Roots Prophecy Ministry. To donate, you can use PayPal on our website or just send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And your donation will automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter. So include your email address if you have one or your regular house address if you desire it sent that way. Either way, we hope you will forward it and share it with others.
And I just want to remind people that I'll be out at Lakeshore Assembly of God this Thursday at 7 o'clock, 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard.
And you can always call the office if you need directions to get there, right?
That's right.
That's 440-834-9006.
That's right, but that's the office. That's not here at
the
studio.
That's not the studio. You want 888-677 word for that, okay?
Yes, if you want to ask a question still tonight, we still have about 15 minutes, so let's keep going.
And a reminder, too, that, we're just teaching the stuff, and she was teaching it to you. It's your responsibility, listeners, to check it out. Be a Berean, Acts 17:11. They checked everything Paul said against the Scriptures. They searched the Scriptures
to see what I was saying.
Right. Okay, so that's your responsibility.
Well, it is, and, you know, and that's why I enjoy doing this, because I want to stir people up. I want them to say, oh, she doesn't know what she's talking about. Let me find that out.
Yeah.
But see, that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what I love. Get in the Word and figure out yourself.
That's right. That
is. Just really the best.
Well, I have that mental picture. I see somebody sitting by the radio home and say, oh, UFOs. Well, let me just see here.
Yeah, let me just see about that. Okay, good. Go. That's what it is.
Okay.
But let's keep in mind as we go, the main admonition of Jude's letter is to contend earnestly for the faith. And always keep this in mind. Now, that just doesn't mean when you are confronted with it. You know, some of you out there might never come head to head with blatant falsehood. But we all know those who do. So make sure you pray for them. And
what do we do? I guess we just can cover them with our prayers, give them financial support.
Always.
So they're not strapped or bogged down with financial burdens.
That's right.
But prayer first, always.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
2 Timothy 3:5 says, they will have a form of godliness. Now, going back to the apostates and sometimes false teachers, they will have a form of godliness, but actually deny its power.
Okay, so you're not going to find these people down at the bar. These are going to be people in church, and they don't really believe what they're...
No, they have the form of godliness, but mm-hmm. in their hearts they really don't believe.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even though we know that the grace of God that brings salvation, and I'm reading out of Titus 2:11, has appeared to all men,
mm.
teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I particularly like that because it does say that the God that brings salvation has appeared to all men.
Wow.
So everyone gets the
everyone
choice.
Gets to make that choice. That's Titus chapter 2, verse 11,
yeah.
and I'm going to highlight that in my Bible. That's a wonderful thing to know, that mm-hmm. everyone's going to get that choice.
Get that opportunity.
Yeah.
One way or another.
And I just want to add this to it. It says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Not the glorious returning, the glorious appearing. And that speaks of the rapture.
Amen.
Let's continue on that one.
We're going to meet him in the air.
Right.
All right. Now, verses 5, 6, and 7 of Jude deals with a trio of different groups of people. Deals with Israel. Then we'll see the fallen angels that we've kind of hit on a little.
Mm-hmm.
And Sodom and Gomorrah that we won't get into until next week. But verse 5 of Jude assumes that we know the Old Testament. In fact, he even says they once knew this. Would you read verse 5?
Sure. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe.
Yes, he did do that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back. Let's remember the story of the first Passover. Remember, God rescued his people out of Egypt, but had to destroy them for their unbelief
mm-hmm.
or their lack of faith, not in who God was, but in what he would do for them.
They lacked
trust.
Trust.
So they didn't apostatize. Okay, but they sinned.
Oh, they sure did. Mm-hmm.
So he did punish them by destroying them in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then I'll finish that thought here in a minute. After the 3,000 died for the golden calf incident, that was the first big blunder.
Right.
God did forgive them, and then he rewrote the tablets. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
But then, after the 12 spies incident, where 10 said they couldn't take the land after God told them to.
Yeah.
God said, as your punishment, they would die and never see the promised land.
So where do you think they went?
Well, I was hoping you would ask that.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's an often asked question. But Scripture does help you know the answer. Remember, they were covered under the blood of the Lamb in Exodus 12.
Because they put it on their doorposts,
right? That's
right. Or they wouldn't be there if they hadn't, right?
That's right. So they had that covering.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did they sin?
Yeah, they did.
They did sin. Mm-hmm. But they never really apostatized. They just didn't trust God.
Okay.
Okay. Does Scripture record that they actually repented for not trusting God?
I don't know.
It does.
It does?
And unless you read carefully, you might miss this. But in Numbers 14:40, we see where they did repent.
Hmm.
And it says that. So their punishment was not seeing the promised land, but I do believe their spirits went to Abraham's bosom until Christ's resurrection.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And for all you listeners, we're not going to look it up right now, but please do that. Go to Numbers 14:40 and underline where it says they repented.
Okay.
You know? So we see that Jude is reminding us that, yes, God does judge. And he is sovereign. So he chooses how and when, and this is where the reverential fear of God comes into play.
And that's why we don't want to test him too far.
I would not want to do that at
all. Because
he
can always take you up on it, and that's God you're playing around with.
That's right.
And
fear
scary.
Of the Lord will be your strength to repent.
Mm-hmm. If we didn't have that, maybe we wouldn't repent. And, of course, you know where we are if we don't repent.
That's right. And, you know, we're always thinking God is doing things slowly, but believe me, he's not.
No, he's right there.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Then now, in verse 6, we see how God judged another different group of, I guess I'll call them entities, and Jude is very nonchalant about it. I think that's what really perked my, you know, eyes up a little bit when I read it. He's just so matter-of-factly. And yet today, this is seldom talked about or not taken literally. So let's refresh. I know you already read this one, but
okay,
just read verse 6 and kind of slow.
And the angels who did not keep their proper domain,
wow,
but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day.
Okay. So these angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he's got them in everlasting chains under darkness. Okay, so those particular ones are under in chains.
In chains.
But when we get to Genesis 6:4, it says, and also after that, I'm under the impression that means more did the same thing later.
And weren't put in chains.
Well, I don't know.
We don't know that
say.
For sure.
But you know what? Why don't you read 2 Peter 2? If you want to read verses 4 through 7, this kind of complements what Jude is saying.
Okay, this is slowly. In 2 Peter. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of 8 people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked.
Yeah, that says a lot, doesn't it?
And we're that says not a lot about Lot, that's for sure. Because I feel like Lot a lot of times when I turn on the news.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And that's, I think, why it's in the book of Jude, because we are living in those last days, a similar thing.
And you said this book was a vestibule to the book of Revelation, and that this is what we need to know at this point in history.
Mm-hmm. And, by the way, that where it says he cast them down to hell, that's actually Tartarus, and that's like the lowest pit.
Oh, okay.
Pit.
That'd be like the abyss?
Like an abuso.
The abyss?
Yeah.
Something like that? Okay.
Yes. But as you know by now, I take the Bible literally whenever possible, taking into account the customs of the day, or if it is an obvious metaphor, it actually tells us, it's like something else. For instance, John, can you think of a good example where he does that?
Oh, yeah. Song of Solomon, some people call it. It says, my beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag.
Right.
Well, it also says her teeth are like sheep on a hill, so we know that.
You know, so there's a little of that going on, but it's pretty obvious and things like that. So it says there were some angels who are now in chains of judgment because they left their own proper abode. To me, that's pretty plain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jude doesn't say what they did when they left heaven because he assumes we know already. And he's just reminding us that God does judge. See, that's what it's all about. It's not to tell us all about these angels. We should already know that this happened.
I see.
And, of course, we do if you
read. This is more a reminder that, hey, God judges. Don't forget that, right?
Exactly. So in case you're one of those who haven't read Genesis, especially chapter 6, I don't know if we have time. I'm going to check with our producer. But I'd like to read verses 1 and 2 of chapter 6. I think we've got 1 minute. So can you read that quickly? And we'll let people stew on this for the week and study it.
Until we come back next Tuesday at 8. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, Ben Ha Elohim, saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives, that's women, Isha, of all which they chose.
That's right. That actual word is Isha, and it means just women.
It just means women.
It's not like they went through some ceremony.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You know, so, and we're the women, you know.
And the sons of God, we are to understand, are?
Well, we believe that they're the fallen angels.
Fallen
because
angels,
they
right.
were always called sons of God. Anything that was created directly by God
mm-hmm.
is a son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Adam was the son of God. The angels were son of God. And we are sons of God only because we are spiritually adopted and he lives inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
But that's New Testament. But in the Old Testament, it was Adam and the sons of God.
Okay.
Okay. So, again, different kinds of angels. And I think that's where we're going to have to leave it.
Mm-hmm.
But next week, we're going to pick it up right here. So, people, you have all week long to get some more information if you want this. There's a lot of it out there. I mean, they've even found skulls of what could not be human, of what they believe is the Nephilim, because it only has like two parts with sutures. You know, those.
Oh, those little lines that
yeah.
they run. Well, see, I'm not. I've seen that in medical books, but I don't know.
Right. Let's just give the blessing and we'll be gone.
Okay. Well, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for letting us do this again. We want to bless all our listeners with the Amalek blessing. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav v'lecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Hopefully I'll see you on Thursday in Menor. Sha'alu shalom Yerushalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.